Our gospel lesson this morning is from Mark, the third chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. Listen for God's word. Jesus entered a house. A crowd gathered again so that it was impossible for him and his followers to even eat. When his family heard what was happening, they came to take control of him. They were saying, "He's out of his mind." The legal experts came down from Jerusalem. Over and over they charged, "He is possessed by Beelzebul. He throws out demons with the authority of the ruler of demons." When Jesus called them together, he spoke to them in a parable. He said, "How can Satan throw out Satan? A kingdom involved in a civil war will collapse, and a house torn apart by divisions will collapse. If Satan rebels against himself and is divided, then he can't endure. He is done for. No one gets into the house of a strong person and steals anything without first tying up the strong person, and steals then anything without first tying up that strong person. Only then can the house be burglarized. I assure you that the human beings will be forgiven for everything, for all sins and insults of every kind. But whoever insults the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. The person is guilty of a sin with consequences that lasts forever." He said this because the legal experts were saying, "He is possessed by an evil spirit." His mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside and sent word to him, saying, "And a crowd was seated around him. And those sent to him said, 'Look, your mother, brothers, and sisters are outside looking for you.' And Jesus replied, 'Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?' Looking around at those seated around him in the circle, he said, 'Look, here are my sisters and mothers and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God.
For the last couple of weeks, the lectionary has had us looking at the Gospel of John. And on most of those occasions, it was the Passover night with Jesus and his disciples sitting in the upper room. These passages were smooth and comfortable, and they were words of instruction and prayer. We celebrated with the disciples in hearing the reassuring and assuring words of Jesus for them and for us today. Now we begin a period of Pentecost, and we focus our thoughts back to the main gospel for this year, Mark. Mark, with his flipped sentences, immediate happenings, quick stories. The passage for today shifts back to a time when Jesus was fairly new at his appointed work. The passage starts out with saying, "Jesus entered a house." So, Mark, where was this house? Is it that what you described two chapters earlier in your gospel as being in Capernaum as Jesus' home? Or might it be back over in Nazareth. And were the disciples who Jesus had just called as apostles the only people there? Or were there some of those people who were healed by God through Jesus in that group? Or those who Jesus drove out demons from? Or maybe even the tax collectors and the street people that Jesus ate at table with, were they also there? So many questions are brought up. And what about these legal experts, these Pharisees who are following this rabble-rouser from Galilee, this Jesus? Are they to report his actions back to their headquarters in Jerusalem? Again, so many questions. But I guess I would ask, what does it matter? Jesus has been in and around Capernaum, and he's made his home there. Many of the disciples or followers were fishermen, and yet Jesus traveled on and around the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee, teaching and feeding and healing, and casting out demons. I think it's important to know that the folks in Jerusalem, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the church, were very concerned that people were listening to and following the lead of this unknown from the north. And my guess is that when these noted in the Scripture leaders reported back to their superiors in Jerusalem, that those superiors were intimidated by the reports and the answers that Jesus had given. They were so intimidated that they were accusing Jesus of being a demon himself. Spreading that rumor to the populace, including perhaps the family of Jesus, perhaps causing them to come and correct him. Jesus, in answer to these charges, simply does what he so often does. He tells a story, a parable, the parable of the divided house. Now, this parable was used by Abraham Lincoln in the 1850s when he was running for a Senate seat in Illinois. Lincoln's use of the house divided against itself cannot stand speech may have cost him that particular election, but it propelled him into the presidency just a few years later. In our nation and world, we are presently finding ourselves in somewhat of a house divided, not just the political, but also in so many facets of our lives today. But going on, I think there are some biblical or religious ideas that we can learn from this parable. Jesus is not denying that he has cast out demons. His statement of "how can Satan cast out Satan" indicates that it is foolish for Satan to get rid of Satan. If he did, there wouldn't be any Satan left. We in the larger church today have some conflicts, approaches to worship, music, spiritual versus intellectual interpretations of the Bible, style. Any number of differences. And yet, we need to be open to all types and interpretations of God. It is here that we see some of wording from the Gospel of John, because Jesus is saying, I assure you. Now, for instance, last week's scripture, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said that three times, I assure you, I assure you, I assure you. And we can be assured and confident in Jesus is saying that same thing to us today. Here in Mark, Jesus is saying, I assure you that you and I are forgiven. In the present tense, not just the future tense. Yes, we will be, but we are also right now forgiven. What a comfort for us. But Jesus seems to always put a little caveat on that statement by saying this. The one who insults, slanders, speaks against, or in any way blasphemes the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. Again, I think Jesus is pointing at the Pharisees and the Sadducees with that comment. But what about the family? I mean, the sermon today is entitled and talks about the family. Well, the Scripture says that the family came to take control of Jesus. All of the translations come to the point where the family is coming to see Jesus to let Him know that they were what they were looking for to help Him. Now, some translations say that they wanted to take control. And Jesus is told that indeed His mother, brother, and sisters were outside waiting to get in. At this point, my thought goes to Mary. Mary had experienced the fact that Jesus was the child of God. She had seen prophecy given over Him by Simeon. She would have remembered Him staying in Jerusalem with the religious leaders as a youth, causing all kinds of problems, remember? Why, she even forced His hand at a wedding by having Him turn water into wine. And yet, here she is, being disparaged, if you will, by Mark, by saying she was trying to take control of Jesus, trying to get Him to toe the line, so to speak, to the religious authorities. And yet Jesus' response is to the group gathered around Him rather than His biological family, saying, look, you are my family. You are my mother and my sister and my brothers. You are those who do the will of God, of Yahweh, of the Holy One. Friends, we are the family of God. We join with those in our world who consider what God has done for us, and we give praise and thanks for the love expressed. We need to be open to what God wants from us and what God gives to us. Let's allow ourselves to be family. Let us pray. Lord God, we do give thanks for Jesus, for His caring ways, for his opening your kingdom for us. Lord, we want to be part of the family, even if we're the odd ducks to the society of our time. Give us the assurance that we will always be near to you. Praise you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.